your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Hey, welcome back. I'm continuing with my discussion with William Arntz here. I'm so enthused about what this gentleman is saying right now. We're going to turn something into a weekend special. Bill talks about, talks a little bit about how to utilize suffering to an advantage. We're going to do a weekend special on that. I'll put together a little bit of a workshop for you folks because I think this idea is incredibly germane for the time. So we're going to go on with this particular segment. We're going to relate it more to politics than to that, but then we will podcast also the clinic, for lack of better terms, that William Arntz has put together in the clinic dealing with how to make suffering your friend, for lack of better terms, how to use it to your advantage. Well, what I'm curious about is right now, what I want to go into here for the next 8 minutes or so, is we have an election coming up in November. It looks like, although it's not cast in concrete, it looks like probably it's going to be President Trump versus Joe Biden, although I think the Democrats have probably picked not the most effective candidate. And I feel sorry about that because I think there was a point in his career with Joe Biden when Joe Biden was, as Peggy Noonan, the really well-known columnist, says, one of the most decent people in the world. But anyway, having said that, I don't want to talk about that so much. I want to talk about why people make the political decisions that they make. You know, you cannot talk about, let's say, a Nancy Pelosi or a Barbara Boxer or a Mike Pence or a Donald J. Trump in the same sentence without one of the people in that argument getting absolutely red in the face, getting very emotional, and actually screaming their opinions as opposed to discussing them. In your opinion, Will, why is that? Because I think that that is diminishing, number one, the stature of our country, and number two, I think it's diminishing the potential effectiveness of the United States of America, a country that I absolutely love.
Well, I agree with you on what you said, number one and number two. To answer your question, why is that? Well, somehow politics has been turned into religion, and it becomes about belief, not about facts. And your beliefs are really sort of your core values, and I talk about that in my How to Suffer book, mm-hmm. that those core values drive so much of what we do, and yet people tend not to examine them. So once you have a belief, I mean, everyone gets to believe whatever they want to.
You bet.
The facts are the facts, but everyone can believe it. So once you have a belief firmly established, then you will go around and find everything basically to agree to that belief. I mean, I have a friend, a very smart friend, who basically is a flat earther. He's convinced the earth is flat. And I, you know, tell him all this stuff, and he's like, no, that's just thought that people made that up. So once you have that belief firmly rooted, that's it. Well, there was a reason why the Founding Fathers said separation of church and state.
Right.
That's the same thing as saying, look, politics is not religion. You can believe anything you want about God and the other worlds and all that stuff, but for politics, for the government, this is not about your beliefs. We need to deal with reality. We need to deal in facts. And somehow that got blurred. I mean, the whole thing about climate change, quite honestly, if you talk to 99 out of 100 real scientists who spent their life doing this, you know, they'll say, yeah, climate change is happening. And yet it got turned into a religion. It got turned into a belief system, and to the detriment of this world, by the way.
Oh, so, I agree.
So that's the thing. And so the notion of coming together, there was a guy in Colorado who was running for governor. And he does this thing where he says he has these dinners and he invites 4 Republicans, 4 Democrats, and 4 Independents.
He's crazy.
And they all have to sit around dinner and talk. And, you know, he told me he does this. And I'm like, this is the sort of thing, because politics, the reason politics exists is because people don't agree. If everyone agreed, you would never have politics. But because people disagree, you have politics to do that. So politics is the business of dealing with disagreement. unfortunately, politics has become, they don't deal with disagreements. They just disagree. So that's why the system is broken. You have to be able to sit down with someone who doesn't agree with them and have a talk, listen to them, and listen to the other. I mean, there's a lot of stories in the past. My favorite is one of, there's that book about Reagan and Tip O'Neill.
You bet.
When politics worked. And, you know, their story where they would, the son said he would hear his dad like, oh, that bleep, 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 O'Neill, if I ever see that bleep, 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 I'm just screaming and yelling in the White House. 2 hours later, he hears all this singing. He goes down to the second floor, and there's Tip and Ronald Reagan with their arms around each other singing Irish drinking songs.
There you go.
That's it. I mean, but somehow...
And that was one of the best times that the American people ever went through.
Yep. And Reagan sent Tip over to Russia, Gorbachev, in the early days of that whole thing. And Gorbachev says, look, you know, Russia and U.S. were enemies. You and the Republicans are enemies. Does that mean we're allies? And Tip says, politics stops at water's edge. Boom. Just there. Politics stops at water's edge. And that sort of notion about working with people.
Yep.
Because, you know, we have more in common than not in common. Here
yes,
we're facing
we
a common, we have a common foe. That we should be like saying, okay, we're all stuck in this together. Let's help each other. So hopefully we'll get to there.
Well, I got to tell you, I really wonder sometimes, you know, my daughter suggested when I started doing radio years ago, she said, you know, Dad, you really got to have a blog associated with your radio show. And I decided to do that. I mentioned that to a friend of mine who is also, he's a personality on, I believe it's the National Catholic Radio Network. And he said, you know, he said, the worst thing in the world you can do is have a blog, because he said, you're going to bring out all the raw emotions of your listeners that even they sometimes don't even believe. He said it's really kind of interesting, and he said, Al, it's going to drive you crazy. Well, I have to say that it's not driving me crazy, but it can be very, very difficult to deal with it sometimes. Well, I have to tell you, I really appreciate your views on what we just talked about. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to put up a live link to Will's book, How to Suffer in 10 Easy Steps. You'll be able to get it from Amazon if you would like to. And remember, we are also going to put together a weekend special, which will be a bit of a clinic put on by Will Arntz as to how you can truly make suffering work for you. That could be one of the most important things that the Corlin Economics Report has ever done in its 20, 25 years of existence. Will, always a pleasure. Thank you.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.